Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The WEEI Sports Radio Network. You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
I know they have no authority to punish, enforce the rule or the recommendation, whatever you want to call it, but they made it clear. And if you're not going to follow it, I think that you are basically giving your union the middle finger. You are undermining your union. You are working against the group that is in place to advance your interests. You are hurting their credibility by flaunting it. That's what bothers me the most about it. He's been around the NFL for 20 years. You'd think he would understand. You'd think that the ego and the vanity that prompts you to post this stuff on social media would take a back seat to recognizing I'm really not helping my union here by doing this stuff.
All right, welcome in. Well, that was Mike Florio. Ordinarily, I don't agree with basically everything that Mike Florio says, but I actually agree with that. 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for the next 2 hours or so. WEEI Late Night. Now, I don't want to spend a ton of time on the Brady practicing when he's not supposed to be practicing, because I already did that for about 40 minutes earlier today. But if you want to weigh in on that, certainly welcome to do so at 617-779-7937. Just to summarize my take from what was going on with Brady this week. The fact that the NFLPA comes out and says, don't hold these joint practices, and Brady goes on a social media account and says the only thing to fear is fear itself, that's what I had an issue with. I don't understand what Brady gains from putting that on his social media account. We're in the middle of a coronavirus pandemic, and in Florida, you have 9,000 new cases in Florida. Not to mention the fact that Florida's already having to shut down bars after reopening the state. They're now shutting down. So in Florida, this is a serious issue right now. And Brady puts on his social media account, the only thing to fear is fear itself. I don't understand why Brady just didn't continue to have these workouts and not put it all over his social media account. Why do you need to do that? So I understand if you're Tom Brady, why you want to work out with your new teammates. Totally understand that. And I understand it was just a suggestion that the medical director of the Players Association made. But when you put something like that on social media, it's irresponsible. There is things to fear with the coronavirus. I'm not saying we should all be living in fear every day. But when you look at a statement where he's quoting FDR, the only thing to fear is fear itself. That's just not something that Tom Brady should be putting on his social media account when people across the country are dealing with the coronavirus. And yeah, it may not be a serious issue to Tom Brady himself because he's 43 years old, he's a fit man, and the guys that he's working out with are mostly in their 20s, with the exception of Gronk. He's, 30 now? So most of these guys, young athletes, where the coronavirus is not going to affect them in a significant way, even if they pick it up. Yeah, they'll be sick, but they'll recover. For the most part, they'll be okay. But when you look at older people in the country right now, they are dealing with significant cases of the coronavirus where it impacts them a lot differently. So I just felt like it was an irresponsible message for Tom Brady to put on his social media account. And quite frankly, I don't understand the upside of it. What's the point of putting that out there? Why would you put that out there? It just seems like all it could do is cause a distraction. And really, the people working with Tom Brady who run his social media account, or at least some of the people around him that work with him in terms of his social media stuff, he needs to have a conversation with them. Because how did nobody around Tom Brady say, yeah, Tom, that's probably not a good post. Probably not a good post. Probably shouldn't be posting in the middle of a pandemic, posting something on social media that says the only thing to fear is fear itself. Not a good idea. Anyway, I did want to pivot to this. The number 617-779-7937. So ESPN Plus put out these rankings this week, and I got into the Patriots last night. I wanted to get into this from the Bucs perspective. So ESPN Plus basically took Pro Football Focus's grades for all the players returning to each team and the rookies coming out of the collegiate ranks and ranked each roster in the NFL. So it's ESPN Plus using Pro Football Focus's metrics to grade each roster. So they came up with the list, and the Baltimore Ravens were number one, followed by the New Orleans Saints, the San Francisco 49ers, the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Tom Brady's new team. So with that in mind, what are realistic expectations, or what should we expect from Brady with his new team in the 2020 season? 617-779-7937. So the Buccaneers being fifth on this list here. So one of the things that I believe you had here with the Pats, if you were Tom Brady for all these years, your division was a given. Your division was a layup. Most of these organizations never put together a competent team. Just think about it through the years. You've had the Bills in Brady's time here. Think about this. The Bills went through 10 coaches since Tom Brady was a member of the Patriots. And really, they've only had one coach that's shown promise, and that's the guy right now in Sean McDermott. Guys like Mike Mularkey, Greg Williams, Doug Marrone, and Rex Ryan sucked with the Bills. Those are the type of coaches you've had. Sean McDermott looks like he's turning things around, but for the most part, the Bills have been a dumpster fire since Tom Brady arrived. And by the way, no franchise quarterbacks in that time either. J.P. Lossman, E.J. Manuel, they have not had consistent quarterback play. You look at the Jets, dumpster fire. Six coaches since 2000. Al Groh, Eric Mangini, we all remember that, the Rat. Adam Gase has been horrible. Now, they did have a little stretch with Rex Ryan for 2 years where they were decent, but Mark Sanchez was their quarterback. So, in totality, the Jets, since Tom Brady arrived, have been bad. Now, I know they had Brett Favre for a year, but Mark Sanchez, Geno Smith, Chad Pennington was there for a little bit, so they've been horrible. Then you look at the Dolphins, 10 coaches since 2000. Now, quite frankly, I believe at this point they figured it out with Brian Flores. I believe Flores is going to be an outstanding coach in the league for years to come. But before Flores, you had Joe Philbin. He was awful. Cam Cameron was horrible. Nick Saban quit. He was a good coach, but he quit. So, and also, you had no franchise quarterback in Miami. Dante Culpepper, Chad Henne, and Chad Pennington, who also played for the Jets. So, the most part, this division that Tom Brady's been playing in, there's been no competition whatsoever. And according to this list that ESPN Plus puts out there, the Bucs are the second most talented team in their own division, which is something that Tom Brady never even had to comprehend as a member of the Patriots. But now playing for the Buccaneers, you have a Saints team that at least on paper is more talented than you, not to mention the fact the Saints have familiarity with each other. They've been together for a long period of time. So in terms of the Bucs making a legitimate run in the NFC, I just believe it's going to be significantly tougher than it's ever been for Tom Brady in his career. And even if you look at just the division, yeah, the Saints are the favorites to win that. But then if you branch out a little bit further and you look at the conference, in the AFC all these years, it wasn't awfully difficult for the Patriots. And I'm not saying that for it to be an indictment on Belichick and Brady. I'm just giving you the reality that this was not a tough conference for a number of years for Brady and Belichick. If you think about it, the first decade where Brady and Belichick were winning together, you had the Colts with Peyton Manning, and you had the Steelers. And that was pretty much it. The Ravens came in at the tail end in 09. Remember, they beat the Patriots in the playoffs. But for the most part of that decade, it was about the Steelers, and it was about Peyton Manning and the Colts. And when you factor that in, you look at, well, Brady always owned the Steelers. So even a team that was supposed to be a rival for the Patriots really wasn't, because they played the same damn defense every time Brady played him, and he just sliced him and diced him apart. You look at it from the Colts angle, well, for the first half of the of that decade, Belichick owned Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning could not crack the code in the Belichick defense until 2006. So even that, the first decade, the competition for the Patriots just was not there. And then if you look at this last decade, you had a Ravens team for the first few years that was pretty good. They did win a Super Bowl, but then they aged out, and Joe Flacco had that flat. He was a flash in the pan. He had one good run in 2012. They overpaid him, and that basically ruined their roster for years to come. Until now, they have Lamar Jackson. But for the most part, this decade, what happened is they won a Super Bowl, and then their roster got worse because Joe Flacco was taking up all the salary cap space, and he wasn't justifying the contract because he wasn't an elite quarterback. So really, if you look at this past decade, the Ravens for a few years, then you had Peyton's Broncos once Peyton goes to Denver, and in the past few years, you had the Chiefs with Pat Mahomes. But for the most part, it was just Peyton's Broncos. And really, outside of that, there was not a lot of competition for the Patriots. And even think about before Mahomes. In my mind, there was really no threat in the AFC for that two-year period after Peyton Manning retired after 15. So in 16 and 17, you had a Steelers team that was an absolute dumpster fire in terms of the personnel. Tons of talent, but they were not pulling the rope in the right direction. You had Antonio Brown, remember, Facebooking live in the locker room after a game. And this is when Mike Tomlin saying, don't give the Patriots any bulletin board material. What was Antonio Brown doing? He was Facebook living Mike Tomlin's speech about not giving the Patriots any bulletin board material. And Roethlisberger and Le'Veon Bell, yeah, they had a ton of talent, but that team could never get it together. So it was the Steelers, and then the following year, and I get it, the Jaguars gave you a run for your money, but Blake Bortles was the quarterback. So that was the competition for 2 years before Mahomes arrived. Well, he was technically in the league when the Patriots went to the Super Bowl in 17, but he wasn't starting that year. In 18, the Chiefs were a legitimate threat. Nobody would doubt that. But for the most part, even last decade, you didn't have a lot of threats in the AFC for Brady and Belichick. And when I look at the AFC these past 20 years for Brady, it almost reminds me of LeBron in the East in the NBA for all those years. At the beginning of this last decade with Miami, you had the Celtics for a year, and then, of course, the Celtics aged out, and that's why the Celtics are good now, because they traded Garnett and Pierce, and they got all those draft picks that turned into Tatum and, of course, turned into Jaylen Brown, etc. But you had the Celtics for a year, and then the Bulls, but Derrick Rose got hurt, so they weren't really a threat, and then kind of the Pacers, but nobody really thought the Pacers were going to beat the Heat. And then he goes back to Cleveland. He really has no threat with him and Kyrie Irving. After Kyrie Irving is dealt to the Celtics, well, then it was LeBron and a bunch of nobodies, Kevin Love, and the Celtics challenged him that year. But for the most part, he didn't have a lot of competition in the Eastern Conference. And Brady and Bill kind of had a similar path in the AFC for all those years. And I'm not saying it's not because they were significantly better or they didn't deserve to be significantly better. Brady was the greatest quarterback of all time, and Belichick was the greatest coach of all time. So part of it is their individual dominance, but there was not a lot of competition in the AFC. And I say that to say, well, look at the NFC now and Tom's new challenge, because on paper, really talented football team. Pro Football Focus and ESPN Plus are telling you this is the fifth most talented roster in the NFL. But when you look at the NFC, it's a totally different challenge. You have a team in your division in the New Orleans Saints that is better than you. On paper right now, the Saints are better than the Buccaneers. And the last time we saw the two quarterbacks play, when you're talking about Drew Brees and Tom Brady, one was significantly better than the other. Drew Brees last year set the NFL record for a completion percentage when he completed 74% of his passes. And that's like the third consecutive season that Drew Brees has set the NFL record for completion percentage. So Brees is still playing at a high level. And all they did was add another weapon to their team in Emmanuel Sanders. And I get it that the Saints have had some turmoil off the field this offseason with Drew Brees, the anthem, etc. But it seems like the players on his team have accepted his apology. It seems like they've already moved past that. They brought in Shaq to address the team. So it seems like they've moved past that. And you still get Alvin Kamara. You still got Michael Thomas. You have Drew Brees. You have an outstanding offensive line. And you have one of the better coaches in the NFL in Sean Payton. So that team is better than you, which has never been said about the Patriots with Brady and Belichick in the AFC East. Never said that before. And the rest of the conference in the NFC is loaded. And that's the difference between the AFC for all these years and the NFC that Tom Brady is now going to. So I don't see them winning the division, especially with the truncated offseason. So then you're looking at the likelihood of the Buccaneers making a deep run in the postseason, you're going to have to win three road games to get to the Super Bowl. Okay? And that would mean at some point maybe you'd have to go to New Orleans, and we all know that's an awfully difficult place to play. But think about some of the other teams in the NFC that Brady would have to hypothetically go through. You have a Niners team that's an absolute juggernaut. We just saw them play for the Super Bowl with a legitimate defense and a dominant running game. The Niners are really good, and they're going to be good for the foreseeable future. You have a Seahawks team with, in my mind, they have the second best quarterback in the NFL in Russell Wilson. So those are two threats to go along with the Saints. I also look at that Minnesota team, and I get they got rid of Stephon Diggs because him and Kirk Cousins had some issues, but they still have Dalvin Cook. They still have Adam Thielen. They still have Rudolph. And by the way, Dalvin Cook is one of the top five running backs in the NFL. And you know Minnesota with Mike Zimmer is always going to have a pretty good defense. It's not going to be easy to go to Minnesota and win games. You look at a team like the Cowboys, I know that Dak Prescott is not one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL, but he's solid, and that team's loaded. You have Amari Cooper for him to throw the football to. You have CeeDee Lamb, who they just drafted out of Oklahoma, who in my mind was the best receiver in all of college football last year. You have Gallup that's developed. You have a tight end in Jarwin who showed some signs last year. And, oh, by the way, you have Ezekiel Elliott, who's led the league in rushing already twice in his career, and you have a dominant offensive line. Not to mention the fact you got rid of one of the worst coaches in the NFL in Jason Garrett, and you brought in Mike McCarthy. And I'm not saying Mike McCarthy's the greatest coach in the history of the NFL, but he's won a Super Bowl. He's a significant upgrade over Jason Garrett, who doesn't know how to coach. So when you look at that, the Cowboys are a threat in the NFC. So it just seems like it's a lot deeper in terms of the conference. Now, Brady is playing with some legitimate players. Nobody would dispute that. Mike Evans is a stud. Chris Godwin is a stud. He got his old buddy Gronk to come out of retirement, although my prediction with Gronk is he will not hold up for the entirety of his season. I just don't see it. Last time we saw Gronk on a football field, he was banged up. He was basically banged up for the last, 5 years that he was a member of the Patriots. And his final season with the Patriots, for the large portion of that season, I get it, he turned it on in the postseason. Clutch catches against the Chiefs in overtime, or a clutch catch against the Chiefs in overtime, and a huge catch against the Rams in the Super Bowl. But for the most part that season, it looked like Gronk was running with a piano on his back. So I don't expect Gronk to be the same Gronk that we all remember, where he's just destroying people and anyone that tries to tackle him bounces off Rob Gronkowski. I just don't see that same player showing up. But nonetheless, you got a lot of talent on that team. But the one thing that I would point to, and I understand a lot of what happened last year with Tom Brady, was the offensive line took a significant step back. Nobody can dispute that. And you didn't have the necessary weaponry that you wanted in terms of your receiving core. And I'm not disputing any of that with Tom Brady. That certainly played into the equation. And clearly in Tampa, Tom has the weapons that he wants. But I also believe that last year, we saw some slippage with Tom Brady. And when you look at it, Greg Cosell from NFL Films, he was on with OMF earlier in the week. And all he does is basically look at film. He watches all the film. And he said he noticed two things with Brady last year. And it's not like he has a dog in the fight. He's not a hot take artist, right? This isn't Max Kellerman, who's been a Brady hater. This isn't Rob Parker, that's been a Brady hater. No, this is a guy that basically his job is to watch film every day, and he's going to tell you what he gains from the film or what he learns from the film. And he said on OMF this week that the two things that Brady struggled with last year were ball placement and pocket mobility. So it wasn't all the offensive line and the lack of weapons. It was ball placement, which is not something, if a receiver is somewhere and Brady's got to get him the ball, he wasn't putting it in the place that it needed to be last year at times. When you look at pocket mobility, that's a serious concern. Because nobody's been better in the history of the NFL maneuvering inside the pocket. I'm not talking about Brady getting outside and run. We know that's not in his arsenal, so to speak. But one thing Brady has done better than anybody in the history of this damn sport is maneuver in the pocket, slide up and down, move to his right and left. Last year, Greg Cosell from NFL Films say, yeah, Brady lost a little bit in terms of that. Warren Moon has said that when he watched Brady play last year, he didn't have his legs down the stretch of the season. And just to put a numerical thing on that, he was passing for 199 yards per game the last five games of the season. So it wasn't the same Tom Brady. Legs were fatigued, according to Warren Moon. The ball placement and the pocket mobility wasn't there, according to Greg Cosell of NFL Films. So when I look at Tom Brady, I believe the stats are going to be better at the beginning of the season with Tampa. How could they not, with Mike Evans and with Chris Godwin, et cetera. I believe it's going to be an uptick for Brady early on with the stats, but I believe he's going to tail off in the second half of the season, just like he did this past season in New England. And I also look at the fact that Bruce Arians wants to throw the football. That's what his offense is based around. No risk it, no biscuit. That's his motto. Jameis Winston, by the way, he led the NFL in passing attempts with Jared Goff. They both attempted about 626, not about, exactly 626 passes last year. So what Bruce Arians wants to do is throw the football down the field. So as great as it may look early in the season with Brady throwing to these guys, is he going to be able to recover and make sure that he's healthy for the entire season? Because you can say, well, what do you mean healthy? You didn't miss any games last year. Yeah, but Brady was banged up all season long. The tennis elbow that he was dealing with seemed like he never really recovered from that. He was dealing with a calf injury early on in the season. What did we notice about Brady last year that was not apparent in other seasons? He wasn't bouncing back from little injuries like he had in the past. Some of those things we never heard about before. And Bill Belichick actually made it clear last year that Jarrett Stidham was getting a lot more time in practice. Why? Because Tom Brady couldn't practice because he was dealing with too many injuries. Tennis elbow, a calf thing. He was dealing with issues all season long. And now he's entering his 43-year-old season. I don't care how healthy he is. We saw at 42, he wasn't recovering from those injuries. What do you think is going to happen at 43? Those little injuries, it's going to be even more difficult for Brady to come back from those. So they don't really have an established running game there in Tampa. Ronald Jones is fine, but he's nowhere near an elite running back in this league. So when I look at Brady, they're going to ask him to throw the ball all over the field, and that's what Brady wants. Brady wants to air it out all over the field. But I'm wondering if Brady throwing the ball more and having success early on in the season, attempting 35, 34 passing attempts per game, in my mind, that's actually going to hurt the Buccaneers, and it's going to hurt Brady in the long term because I think he is going to fade in the second half of the season just like he did this past season with the Patriots. So for all those reasons, I just feel like as talented as this Buccaneers team is on paper, and ESPN Plus and Pro Football Focus are telling you they have the fifth most talented roster in the NFL, I don't see them making any sort of significant run in the postseason because I believe, A, it's going to be too much of a difficult road in terms of your division. I don't see you winning the division. B, the NFC is too damn loaded. I just ran through the teams in the NFC. It's not like the AFC that Tom Brady's been used to for the past 20 years. And then the last part of the equation, C, would be the fact that I believe Brady's going to fade in the second half of the season. All right, the phone number is 617-779-7937 if you want to join us. What are your expectations for Tom Brady and Tampa next season? I do want to get to the Celtics. Their schedule came out. There's one thing I'm looking for in particular with the Celtics that I need to see when they restart the season. We'll get into all that, and I'll get you trending in just a second here on WEI.
Drive home with OMF, weekday afternoons 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEI.
Here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Celtics schedule has been released for the league's restart. They'll open up against the Bucks on July 31st. After that, the Green plays the Blazers, the Heat, the Nets, the Raptors, the Magic, the Grizzlies, and the Wizards. And then, of course, after that, the playoffs will begin. Meanwhile, the NBA announced that 16 players tested positive for the coronavirus in the first wave of mandatory tests done as they get ready to restart the season. 302 players were tested in total. Commissioner Adam Silver said none of the 16 players that tested positive for COVID-19 were seriously ill. Tom Brady and his Buccaneers have been practicing despite the union recommending players stop group workouts. The Players Association President Demora Smith told USA Today, quote, "Those practices are not in the best interest of player safety. They're not in the best interest of protecting our players heading into training camp. And I don't think they're in the best interest of us getting through an entire season." Oh, yeah, remember, Brady, by the way, posted on his Instagram, "There's nothing to fear but fear itself." Jets head coach Adam Gase said today that he wants Pro Bowl safety Jamal Adams to remain with the team. Adams formally asked for a trade last week since the team has yet to give him a contract extension. This is amazing. The Jets are an absolute dumpster fire. Their best player doesn't want to play for them. That's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
All right, Brian Barrett with you, WEEI Late Night. I'm with you until midnight. By the way, I was thinking about this when I'm looking through these rosters that Pro Football Focus and ESPN Plus put together in terms of the best rosters in the NFL. How great would a Tom Brady versus Jimmy Garoppolo playoff matchup look like? Oh, my God. How much of that killed Bill Belichick, too? If that was the NFC Championship game, you know who Bill would cheer for, right? If the 49ers are playing Tom Brady and the Buccaneers in a playoff game, you know who Bill's cheering for. He's cheering for his boy, Jimmy. He was heartbroken when Jimmy left. Remember, he's sending him texts, so Bill would be pulling for the 49ers. 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you. Let's go to Spencer over in the North Shore in Beverly. Spencer, what's up, man?
Hey, Brian. Great show, man. Really look forward to hearing from you when you're doing your show.
Thanks, man.
You're the top of the mountain, kid. You're the best in the industry, as far as I'm concerned. That's my opinion.
Appreciate it.
A couple of things that come to mind that you talked about tonight, and I couldn't agree with you more about where the Patriots are and where Tom Brady is right now. But I think there's a couple things we need to look at as well.
Okay.
Tom Brady hasn't really lost a step, and I'm going to explain to you why. When you're underneath that type of pressure with that offensive line that's not competent and he has less time to make the play happen, and a lot of his plays are timing plays. They really are. And he's trying to force balls into places that if he had a little bit more time in the pocket – he would be able to make those plays. He hasn't lost his accuracy. He hasn't lost arm strength. Is he what he was 10 years ago? No. But he's still, I consider, one of the top four or five quarterbacks in the NFL. He understands the game. He's incredibly bright. He's seen everything come at him. He reads plays really well. He has an instinct for the game that I've never seen before. The guy's a champion. And you'll never see another team.
Yeah, look, Spencer, I, the resume of Tom Brady is impeccable. He's the best quarterback in the history of the sport. I'm just saying, last year, and I know you said a lot of it has to do with the offensive line. I'm not dismissing the numbers being down because of the lack of weapons and the offensive line was not good. I acknowledge that. But if you talk about him moving in the pocket, Greg Cosell is somebody that he has no dog in the fight. He just evaluates his stuff for NFL films. He said the pocket mobility that Brady had, it wasn't there last year. Just talking about pure ball placement, it wasn't there. Spencer, watching games last year down the stretch of the season, there were throws that Tom Brady had at his disposal that he could have made, and he missed them. And that doesn't have anything to do with the young receiver or a guy running the wrong route. We're talking about throws that were there.
That's fair. But I'll tell you right now, you know who the coach is? The coach is the quarterback of Tampa. It's Tom Brady. You're going to see that offense shine. That offense is going to
He's the GM, too, Spencer. He already got his buddy there. He got Gronk there. He's the GM.
He's going to own the club before you know it. But the bottom line is, I think he's going to be strong. I think Gronkowski's going to get hurt. No question. His back is fragile. He's going to be able to take so many hits, and he's going to be out. I think it's going to be very interesting, though. Very interesting. My next point I want to make real quick, Boston Bruins. You know, this is what I want to know, Brian, because you're a smart guy. I hope you can just give me the time to express this really quickly. Number one, the guy admitted that he's not going to come back as a goalie next year. He's going to retire. He's not working out during
after COVID. next year, right? You're talking
after
about
next year.
He said he's probably he said that he's not sure if he's going to play after his contract.
Okay, okay. So he's not the future of the Boston Bruins. He's not the future. So what is he right now? He's the entertainer, he tells us. He's a paid entertainer. Do you think that's the right way to come across to the Boston fan base as a goalie for the Boston Bruins, rich in history, Stanley Cups, the whole... We bleed hockey here. It's our passion. It's one of our... It's so important. And this guy just walks off the ice. I'm a paid entertainer. That's inappropriate, number one. Number two, if you're a professional, act like one.
Hey, he's Spencer, what do you think? He's been golfing. Spencer, I heard he's been golfing a lot. What do you think of that?
I think, you know what? I'll tell you what I think about that. He should be in the weight room. He let a puck in from the red line in the Stanley Cup, and I know you keep telling me the perfection line. And guess what? It's not the perfection line responsibility to stop the puck. It's Tuukka Rask. And you're in Game 7 in Boston, full house. People paid $20,000 a seat to see this thing. And can you imagine he lets one in from the red line? He's going to be remembered for that. That's how he's going to go down here in Boston.
Hey,
he's not Tim Thomas. He's not even Blaine Walker.
Spencer, I appreciate the phone call as always, and I really do appreciate his passion towards Tuukka
Rask. I think he's having
Rask.
Like a reoccurring nightmare about Tuukka Rask.
He has, Brittany. You can
I took
on
his
Spencer,
call
man.
The night that game happened, and it's still the same call today.
He's not a Tuukka guy. He's made that abundantly clear. He's obviously not Tim Thomas. Tim Thomas had one of the greatest runs we've seen in the history of the sport from a goaltender in the postseason. I understand that. I still contend, and I know he referenced my point, Tuukka is not the reason the Bruins didn't win the Stanley Cup last year. The reason the Bruins didn't win the Stanley Cup last year is because Ryan O'Reilly was the best player in the ice in that series, and the Blues were the tougher team than the Bruins in that series, and not to mention the perfection line. Where was Bergeron? Where was Marchand? Where was Pasta? Now, I get that Pasta was dealing with an injury, but those guys didn't show up, and the Blues' top players did. That's the bottom line. That's what happened in that series. Now, I am interested to see this restart, if it does happen in the NHL, coronavirus pandemic pending. The one thing that I'm kind of flabbergasted by is how have they not picked the hub cities yet? The Athletic had the report the other day. I gave it to you on a trending, I believe, on Thursday night. They've narrowed it down to six cities, but look at the NBA. They already have a plan in place. They know where they're going. They have the hotel set up. How does the NHL not have the hub cities yet? It's supposed to happen at the end of the month. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Rick. He's in Plymouth. Rick, what's going on tonight?
All right. I couldn't disagree with the last column more. I'm going to side with Bill on this one because on my dollar bill, it says, in Bill we trust. Now, getting to Tom Brady, I think Tom is at the edge of the cliff. I think all he needs is that one little shove, and Tom is gone. I'm going to bring up the 86 Celtics, or the late 80s Celtics as an example. They hung on to their players far too long. Bird, McHale, Parrish. It was out of sheer sentiment that they hung on to them and then went into NBA obscurity for the next two decades.
Yeah, Rick, it's not fair to say they went into NBA obscurity because of that. Part of the reason they went into NBA obscurity is the fact that Len Bias passed away.
That's true. And look, I never forgot that. He was the number one pick overall, and I would love to see the state of the Celtics had Len Bias lived. What I'm saying is
it's one of the great what-ifs in the history of sports. I mean, if Len Bias, and remember, when Len Bias was coming out, people were projecting him to be like Michael Jordan. He beat Michael Jordan in college a couple of times, and he outplayed him. So
we'll never know.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll never know.
But I understand, your point. You're saying the Celtics held on too long. I'm with you for the most part with the Brady thing.
Moved on, and Bill should have Jimmy Garoppolo as his quarterback right now. If Uncle Bob didn't step in where his nose didn't belong, he made that mistake one other time with Terry Glenn. Let me tell you something. Bob should have kept his nose out of it. I know we went to another Super Bowl. We won one. We lost one with Tom Brady. I get it. But I would love to see the state of the Patriots right now had Jimmy stayed. And now we're looking for another a go-to guy again and heir to the throne, in which case we already had one. So that's kind of why I'm upset with that. But I think Tom's at the end of his run. I think, what's the state of the Bucks? I think Tom maybe wins the first 5 out of 6 and then goes 500 the rest of the way.
That's where I'm at, Rick, and I appreciate the phone call. I'm not saying he's going to go 500 the rest of the way, but I believe Brady is going to fade in the second half of the season, just like we saw Brady fade down the stretch of last year. And let me just remind you, the last 5 weeks of last season, and you can give me all this crap about the receivers not being great and the offensive line not being good. I'm not dismissing any of that. But he averaged 199 yards per game, and he completed 58% of his passes in the last 5 games of the 2019 season. So it wasn't all everybody else's fault. Brady played a role in the Patriots not performing at a high level offensively in the second half of last season and mainly those last five games. So I believe Brady's going to have a good start there because he has the weapons. He's got the nice weather going on in Florida and all that. He's going to start off nicely, although I believe he's going to lose his opener to the New Orleans Saints. But I see him fading in the second half of the season. And the other thing I look at, the NFC is tough. It's really difficult to come out of the NFC. That conference is loaded compared to what he had in the AFC for all those years. The AFC, he had a one competitor for a bunch of years in Peyton, and that was pretty much it. Yeah, the Ravens every once in a while, maybe the Steelers every once in a while, but Dick LeBeau never changed his defense. And now at the tail end, he had Pat Mahomes, but that was really for 2 years. That was pretty much it. So he didn't have a lot of competition in the AFC. He's going to an NFC with a team in his division that's already better than the team that he's going to. Not to mention, you got all these other teams. The Cowboys, who are loaded. I get you may not be the biggest fan of Dak, but the Cowboys team is loaded on paper. The San Francisco 49ers are loaded. And oh, by the way, the Seahawks have Russell Wilson, who in my mind is the second best quarterback in the sport behind only Pat Mahomes. So I just don't see how Brady wins 3 road games and gets to the Super Bowl, because here's the reality of the situation. What Brady's looking to do in Tampa is prove Bill wrong, meaning getting to a Super Bowl and winning at a high level, at the very least getting to the NFC Championship game, and I just don't see it happening. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Mark. He's in a car. Mark, what's going on?
Thanks for taking my call, Brian.
Sure.
All right, real quick, first of all, Len Bias struggled with understanding the playbook. Terry Glenn struggled with understanding the playbook. And
for I don't think Len Bias ever got a playbook.
And for all your younger viewers, Len Bias was this phenom that overdosed before he played 1 second.
Yeah, cocaine. Yeah, Mark, actually, they had a 30 for 30 about him. And I actually, this is about a month ago. They actually had on Michael Jordan. This is when the Last Dance documentary was going on. They played a game between Michael Jordan when he was at North Carolina and Len Bias at Maryland. And Len Bias was an absolute freak of an athlete. This guy was absolutely incredible. So it's one of the greatest what-ifs in the history of sports. And unfortunately, he overdosed one night. He got drafted, and then the next night he went back to Maryland, went to campus. He ended up overdosing. So yeah, it was such an unfortunate thing.
Yep. It always is. You know, our heads in hung for a moment.
Brady?
What I want to talk about is Tom Brady. Yeah. Thank you. And first of all, Dallas has been loaded for the past year or even two, and so has San Fran. And what do we see from either one of them?
Yeah, you know, but Mark, what do we see from San Fran? Well, hold on, Mark. Let me answer your question. You just asked me the question. Dallas now has a legitimate coach in Mike McCarthy. Jason Garrett sucked. He's gone. And then secondarily, your point about the Niners, what have they done? They just went to the Super Bowl, and they had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter, so they're pretty good. They've accomplished something.
Well, there was a pass at the very end of that game that was overthrown. And,
by Jimmy, yeah.
Right, and that would have changed the you know, probably the outcome
right,
of that
game.
Right,
so. Mark, being, 12 minutes away from winning or 15 minutes away from winning a Super Bowl, you can't say that San Francisco's done nothing. They're pretty good. So to assume that Tampa Bay is just going to go to San Francisco and win a playoff game, I feel like that's being awfully high on the Bucs.
Well, let's see people get past Arizona this year. You know, I haven't heard anything
Arizona.
About that. Tom Brady's got his hands full. Oh, yeah. Nobody wanted to play them at the end of last season because they were getting real good. Tom Brady's got his hands full. He's got the Saints. He's got Atlanta and Arizona and San Fran, and he's got in the North. He's got a lot of tough games.
Yeah, Atlanta. That's a good point. Hey, Mark, I appreciate the phone call. Atlanta, that's a fair point too. Now I understand that they did not have a good record last year. But you can always depend on that offense. Matt Ryan's a pretty good player. And remember, when Matt Ryan had Kyle Shanahan, who Jimmy Garoppolo had last year, he was the MVP of the NFL. Matt Ryan's always been a solid player in the league. So it's not like those games for Tampa Bay against Atlanta are gimmies either. Matt Ryan's still got Julio Jones to throw the football to and Calvin Ridley to throw the football to. So that Atlanta team is not bad at all. Those aren't easy games. Even Carolina, who doesn't have on paper, doesn't have the best team in the world, they have a really good running back in Christian McCaffrey, and they have a team that drafted all defense, so maybe the defense takes a step forward. So I just look at the Bucs, and I just don't see them having this easy road to get to a Super Bowl or an NFC Championship game. I just think it's going to be awfully difficult. And if Brady doesn't get there in year one, well, this whole thing going to Tampa is going to be deemed a failure, because that's what Brady's about. Brady's not about individual stats and having the best completion percentage or the best pass rating. Brady's about winning rings. And if Brady doesn't get to a Super Bowl in Tampa, this will all have been a failure for Tom Brady. Not to say that it's an indictment on his legacy or anything along those lines. His legacy is already secured. He's the greatest quarterback in the history of the league. But when Tom Brady looks back at his time in Tampa and he doesn't have a ring, he will deem that a failure. And I just don't see him maneuvering his way through the NFC. I don't see him winning his division. So I don't see him making a significant run to a Super Bowl or even an NFC championship game. All right, a lot more to get into. The number 617-779-7937. If you want to weigh in on Tom Brady, what do you expect to see with him and the Bucks this season? Certainly welcome to do so. I did want to get to the Celtics because the NBA just released its schedule for the restart. The Celtics schedule is out. And one thing we need to see from the Celtics when they return, I'll tell you what that is in just a little bit right here on WEI.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The WEEI Sports Radio Network. You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
All right, Brian Barrett with you up until midnight. If you want to join us, the number to do so is 617-779-7937. If you want to weigh in on the Tom Brady conversation, certainly welcome to do so. What do you expect from Tom Brady in Tampa this year? I don't expect them to make a deep run whatsoever. The NFC is way too loaded. But I want to get to this. The NBA just had a schedule release show, which kind of reminds you of like when the NFL releases its schedule, except this is a restart. So they're giving us a release of the schedule for eight games. That's all the NBA is playing before they get into the playoffs. So the Celtics, their first game is against the Bucks. Could be a preview of the Eastern Conference Finals. Then you have the Trailblazers, the Heat, the Nets, the Raptors, the Magic, the Grizzlies, and the Wizards. So that's your schedule for the Celtics, their eight-game restart. And I don't see them being able to catch the Raptors because they're three games in front of them. But when I look at the Celtics, and I start to think about the best case scenario for them in this eight game restart, so to speak, what you're hoping for is that it's actually something that's out of your control. You're hoping that Philadelphia, the 76ers, can actually leap the Pacers in the standings. Right now, both those teams have identical records, but the Pacers, based on a tiebreaker, are ahead of Philly. And we could very easily see Philadelphia actually taking a step forward and overtaking Indiana. Because first of all, Victor Oladipo, who has been dealing with an injury for the majority of the season, came back, played for a couple of months, but he has not been the same guy after coming off quad surgery last year. So Victor Oladipo has still not said whether or not he's actually going to play for the Pacers in this restart. He said he's ramping it up right now over the past week or so, and then ultimately he's got to make a decision on whether or not he's going to participate in the Orlando bubble. So there's that element in terms of the Pacers. They may be without Victor Oladipo to begin with. And when you look at the Philadelphia 76ers, they got a break in how things played out with COVID-19. Not to say anybody was hoping for this, but when you look at Philadelphia, they were going to be without Ben Simmons for a significant amount of time. Remember, before we had to halt the season, Ben Simmons was out with a back injury. So now he's healthy and he's ready to go. So I would expect that Philadelphia actually leaps Indiana in the standings, which is huge for the Celtics, because in my mind, the Pacers are a paper tiger. On paper, they look pretty good. Their record looks pretty good. But then when you actually get them onto the basketball court, I'm not intimidated by them whatsoever if I'm the Celtics. So the biggest takeaway I had when the schedule was released, and I guess I've thought about it before this, but tonight when the schedule came out, I thought about it again, is the Celtics, one of the biggest benefits they could get from this restart and the fact that the NBA went on a hiatus because of the COVID-19 issue in the league and across the country, et cetera, is the fact that the seeding in terms of the Eastern Conference playoff could actually work out really well for the Celtics. So when I look at this in terms of the Celtics and the threat for them to hypothetically make a deep run, in my mind, you much rather play a team like the Indiana Pacers in the first round than the Philadelphia 76ers. Now, I understand that the Celtics did beat the 76ers this year, and there was a game where Joel Embiid had only 11 points, but there was also a game where Joel Embiid had 38 points against the Celtics, and he was downright dominant. And the problem for the Celtics is they don't have a guy that can match up with Joel Embiid. There's two guys in this conference right now that the Celtics have no answer for. One of them is Giannis Antetokounmpo, and the other one is Joel Embiid. When Joel Embiid is actually motivated and he's ready to go, the Celtics don't have a good guy to put on him in terms of a matchup. You start to think about it. The guy's 7 feet, 280 pounds. Your starting center is Daniel Tice, who's 6'8", 245. He just doesn't match up with Joel Embiid. Not going to work. You start to think about some of the other guys you could put on him. Big Rob, too young for that. You give him a head fake, he jumps out of the gym. The guy's a great athlete. I love the potential of Big Rob. But in terms of this year, no, it's not going to cut it against Joel Embiid. So then the other guy you think about is Enes Kanter. I'm sorry, he's a traffic cone on defense. Yeah, he's big, but he's a terrible defender. So that's not going to work. So just in terms of a first-round matchup, you much rather play a team like the Indiana Pacers, who's their best player? Well, I guess technically it's Oladipo, although he hasn't been that this season because he's been dealing with recovering from the quad injury. So even if he comes back, is he really going to be the Victor Oladipo that was an all-NBA performer a couple of years ago? Probably not. And there's a chance he doesn't even play. So then you're looking at Malcolm Brogdon, who, yeah, he's good, but he's not like somebody you're scared about. Domantas Sabonis, he's fine, but he's an interior post guy. I'm not too scared about him, and he's not the size of Embiid. And Miles Turner. So this Indiana team, I would expect the Celtics to have a very easy series with them. The high-end talent of the Celtics is significantly better than the high-end talent on the Indiana Pacers. So despite the fact that a team like Philadelphia, they have their flaws in terms of the lack of shooting, etc., they have one guy where if he gets on a roll, it's going to be awfully difficult for the Celtics to deal with him. And if you were going to ask me first-round series Celtics-Sixers, who you going with, I would go with the Celtics, but I think it would be a very difficult series, and it would shock nobody if the 76ers actually beat the Celtics in a seven-game series. If the Pacers beat the Celtics in a seven-game series, I would be shocked. I don't see it happening. They don't have the talent to compete with the Celtics. So when I look at it from that perspective, this restart to the season in terms of the bubble could actually really benefit the Celtics, because the chances of the 76ers leaping the Pacers in the standings are very high. And I would actually be somewhat shocked if the 76ers don't overtake the Indiana Pacers for that second or for that fifth spot in the standings, which then if you start to look at the bracket for the Celtics, it sets up really well for them. Because if you think about it, your first round matchup would be against the Indiana Pacers, who, as I said, if the Celtics lose to the Pacers, something has gone terribly wrong. Either a bunch of players on the Celtics have tested positive for COVID-19. And again, we don't know exactly how the NBA is going to deal with that. Adam Silver did say today that one test won't alter things, but they don't know what would happen if there was a significant outbreak, right? But anyway, unless like Tatum doesn't play and Brown doesn't play and Kemba doesn't play, I don't see them losing to the Indiana Pacers in a seven-game series. So that's a relatively easy series for the Celtics in my mind. And then in the second round, one of the big advantages the Celtics get with the bubble rather than the regular playoff setting is the Toronto Raptors, they don't get that game five at home, and they don't get, maybe more importantly, a game seven at home against the Celtics. Because we all know, if we watched the NBA Finals last year, that place is nuts. Jurassic Park outside is crazy. That's an awfully difficult place to win playoff games in terms of if they actually have a good team like they do this year, just like they did a season ago. Not as good without Kawhi, but they're still a pretty good team. But I like the Celtics in a series against the Raptors, especially in this neutral location, because again, I believe in the high-end talent of the Celtics over the high-end talent of a team like the Toronto Raptors. And when I look at it, if I just match superstar for superstar, when I look at Tatum compared to Siakam, Siakam's the best player on that team. And Siakam, yeah, he started off the season red hot, but his shooting really dipped off as the season progressed, and that's what he's been for the majority of his career. He's never been a good shooter. His numbers at the beginning of the season, those weren't real. Those were, oh, he got hot to begin the season. In March, he shot 27% from three-point territory. So I just don't believe the Raptors have a guy where they can say, like they did last year in Kawhi, obviously, but they don't have a guy that can carry the load in a playoff series. And I do wonder about the Raptors. Look, they're tough. Kyle Lowry's a tough guy, etc. But Marc Gasol, have you seen the pictures of this guy? He's lost like 30 pounds. I don't know how that is going to help him or hurt him. I don't know if it's going to help him or hurt him in a potential playoff series. And when I look at that Raptors team, I believe that, yeah, they have a lot of good players, but they don't have the high-end talent that the Celtics have when you're talking about the combination of Tatum, Brown, Kemba Walker. I would take that top three over Lowry, Siakam, and I guess the next guy would be Gasol. Van Fleet's a pretty good player, but the high-end talent in the Celtics I like more than the Raptors. So I say all that to say this. I don't believe the Celtics can beat the Bucks in a series. I don't. I don't understand why people are now on the Celtics side of this. Like, all of a sudden, since there's a restart to the season, people have gone nuts. They forgot how good the Bucks are. The Bucks have been the best team in the NBA by far this season. Giannis Antetokounmpo is running away with the MVP award. I don't, quite frankly, believe it is a discussion. And the Celtics don't have a body to put on him. I don't know who the guy is to cover Giannis. Ogilvy, but if it's Ogilvy, then you're sacrificing offense. Tatum is too skinny for him. Jaylen Brown, too small for him. We saw it last year. Giannis averaged like 30 points a game in that playoff series. So I don't see the Celtics having a good matchup for Giannis. I don't see the Celtics beating the Bucks in a series. But the one hope you have in this potential playoff setup is the 76ers could kind of be like your hitman. They could do your dirty work for you, and they have a legitimate chance to beat the Bucks in my mind because they do have the size to give Giannis some trouble. They have a guy like Ben Simmons, although Giannis has owned Ben Simmons in the past. But Ben Simmons is a good defender, big defender, been one of the best defenders in the NBA this year. We've seen Al Horford can do some things against Giannis defensively. And you have a guy like Embiid who can be in the paint. Because the way that Giannis struggled last year, and he didn't even really struggle that much. He had one bad game against the Raptors. You had the best perimeter defender in the history of the NBA, in my mind, in Kawhi Leonard on him and Marc Gasol behind him to basically give him some help. Well, the 76ers have Embiid, they have Simmons, they have Al Horford, they have a bunch of bodies they can throw at him. I just don't see the Celtics having those bodies. But what the Celtics could benefit from is you don't have to play the Sixers or the Bucks until the Eastern Conference Finals if the playoff standings work out the way that I hope they work out for the Celtics. So they could eliminate each other, and you would hope maybe the Sixers could do your dirty work for you and somehow upset the Bucks, and then you don't have to play the Bucks at all. All right, Brian Barrett with you up until midnight, WEI Late Night, the number 617-779-7937. If you wait, new restart to the season for the Celtics, are you actually on board that they could make a run to the NBA Finals? I'm not going that far. I do like the setup for them, but I don't think they can overcome the Milwaukee Bucks. Plus, I do want to get to this. Three things that could look really bad for Bill Belichick in the upcoming season. We'll get to that next right here on WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.